chant the name of Hari. All brothers with blissful minds, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Birth after birth and happiness, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, all brothers, you have obtained a human birth. Now chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Whether you are in happiness or distress, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, all brothers, whether in prosperity or misfortune, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Whether you live at home or in the forest, chant the name of Hari. Remaining in the material world for Krishna's purpose, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, all brothers, give up the association of non-devotees and chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, falling at the feet of the Vaishnavas, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, chant the names of Gaur and Nityananda, chant the names of Gaur and Gadadhar, chant the names of Gaur and Advaita. Play the beat first, because if I start with a harmonium, usually you play a different beat than I play. So, you know, it's just.
excuse me one second. This harmonium is the most work I've done all year. Literally, this is probably one of the worst harmoniums I've ever played in the movement. I'm amazed it survived even so many years. It's really old. I'm catching my breath. Oh, Krishna. Let's see if I can get something. I need a little help. I need something like a piece of paper that I can fold up. I don't want to use one of these song sheets. Maybe to help keep the air in here. You have something? Yeah. Just fold it. See what's on that sheet. First song, Madhuram Madhuri Vyopi, it's also about the holy name. More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is a reality, again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. That person is a true preceptor, or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, Only if they teach one to always remember, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Oho, what a sorrow, what a great sorrow, more painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything.
Bye.
tonight, but I don't have enough strength for any more. So I think I'll just speak about this one. Hare Krishna. We chant this prayer a lot, different places. Actually, I started chanting this prayer a lot in Ukraine. The devotees chant it in the morning after Mangal Arati as a form of meditation to prepare themselves for their morning japa. We're in Mayapur also, we were chanting this prayer as a meditation for morning japa. For those who are sadhakas, then the prayer has a lot of meaning. For those who are aspiring sadhakas, prayer also has a lot of meaning. For those who are neither aspiring or sadhakas, the prayer should have some meaning. When I say sadhakas, I mean devotees or persons who have adopted the process of sadhana bhakti, which is following the prescribed principles of devotional service, which are meant to regulate one's life for a gradual transformation of consciousness. That basically is a sadhaka. It begins in a platform of rules and regulations. And one who is a sadhaka, it means that they've at least understood that there's a higher aspiration in life than to simply regulate one's life for the fulfillment of all one's material desires. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in many of his writings, he addresses specifically those who are sadhakas. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, in his writings, he extended himself much further, in the sense that Prabhupada is the acharya who came to make the chanting of the holy name of the Lord accessible to all living beings throughout the entire world. And we understand that Srila Prabhupada was certainly one of the foremost exponents, as it's written in his biographies and throughout his books, who is simply fixed on making the holy name of the Lord available to everyone and establishing his Krishna consciousness movement on the firm foundation that the spreading of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which is described as the fundamental principle of religion, is the primary means of satisfying the Supreme Lord in this age of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada would many times quote the verse Yadgai Sankatanai Prayaya Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. The persons who are actually intelligent persons will worship the Supreme Lord who has appeared in this age, not in a blackish form, but in a golden form, and who's come to propagate, along with his associates, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Prabhupada would many times quote the verse Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gatiram yata, that in this age of Kali Yuga there is no other means for self-realization. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than the chanting Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, the chanting the holy names of the Lord. Iti shodashikam namnam kalika masa nasanam nata parataropaya sabavirishu vishyate. Prabhupada would chant this verse also. Sometimes people ask the question, where did the Hare Krishna mantra come from? When I read Bhagavad Gita, I don't see Krishna saying that you should chant Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Upanishads, Kalishan Tarantara Upanishad, which begins with Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Shodashakam Nanam, Kali Kamashadashakam, Nata Padataropaya, Sava Vedashudhishite. These 16 words of the Hare Krishna mantra is the primary means by which one can become free from the reactions of sinful life. There is no other means to become free from sinful activities, initiates in the chanting of the holy name, the name of the Lord. Sarva Veda Shudrishite, that one can study the Vedic scriptures, and anywhere throughout the Vedic scriptures, he'll not find a method of religion more sublime than chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So Prabhupada, taking many of these verses from the scripture, taking the mood of Lord Chaitanya, understanding his mood for which he appeared in this world, which was to primarily to distribute his many purposes which were given for his descent. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes the internal reasons and external reasons. He had internal reasons for descending to this world, which was that he wanted to taste the sweetness of what it's like to be a devotee of Krishna. Krishna couldn't know that. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone is a servant of Krishna. Yet, by his experience and observation, he sees that everybody tastes a bliss which is so wonderful. The topmost devotees of the Lord, they taste a pleasure which is so wonderful that he wanted himself wanted to taste it. So how could he taste that which everyone else was tasting by serving him? So he decided that he would come to taste that pleasure himself, and therefore he came in the mood of a devotee, simply to get that experience, to know what it is that the devotee is experiencing. Therefore, although he was the Supreme Lord himself, he would never tolerate if anyone would call him the Supreme Lord. And then he would block his ears and refuse to hear. And he always assumed that mood of glorifying the Lord, although he was chanting his own names. That was his internal mood, that was his inner mood, his bhav, as described. He had the mood of the topmost devotee, of Srimati Radharani. So these are internal reasons. But external reasons, he came to propagate this congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord and to make it easily accessible. As Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he offers a basis to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he offers a basis to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean of mercy. And although the subject matter of bhakti is very difficult to understand, nonetheless, Lord Chaitanya made it very easily accessible for those people in the age of Kali Yuga. So, there was his external purpose, to propagate the chanting of the holy names of the Lord and also to answer the call of Advaita Vacharya. I think we were giving that as an example the other night. We're saying how Lord Chaitanya appeared, that the Lord feels the distress for the suffering souls, because when the devotee feels distress for the suffering souls, the Lord, the devotee being so dear to the Lord, then the Lord feels what the devotee is feeling. And therefore, when the devotee is seeing souls in the material world whose consciousness is completely absorbed in materialistic activities, the devotee feels compassion. And therefore, he desires to give them that which is most valuable. What is the most valuable thing that one can possibly possess in this world? The most valuable possession is to establish one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, it's described here in this prayer that this holy name of the Lord is the most valuable thing because it's the means by which one can get Krishna. So when a devotee feels suffering, he wants to give. So therefore the Lord agrees to come. The Lord came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in this age of Kali, the Lord agrees to continue to appear. Not only did he appear 500 years ago in his advent as the supreme advent as a devotee of the Lord, but he also is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Harisava Jagat Nistara. In the age of Kali Yuga, the Lord incarnates in the form of His holy name. And anyone who associates with the holy name of the Lord is as good as associating with the Lord directly, and certainly he becomes delivered. Lord Chaitanya came to distribute himself in this form of the holy name, and therefore the devotee who feels compassion for the suffering conditioned souls, he wants to give him the greatest gift. For the devotee who has actually realized the Lord's presence in his name, then such as this prayer is describing here, and this devotee who's authored this or penned this poem, he's realized for himself that there's nothing, for him there's nothing greater. For him the holy name of the Lord is everything. And therefore he describes in each and every one of these verses how the holy name manifests himself to him in such a way that he's everything. It's more the most auspicious thing, the most beautiful thing, the most sweetest thing in all these worlds. For him, he's experiencing Krishna who's present in his name. We may not be experiencing Krishna in his presence in his name. Why do we not experience it? Why is it not so easily accessible, although it's described in the scriptures that Lord Chaitanya has made this himself so easily accessible in the Sikshastika prayer. As Lord Chaitanya describes in the second verse, O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benedictions to the living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all of your transcendental potencies, and there are no hard and fast rules for chanting those names. O my Lord, out of your kindness you have made yourself so easily approachable by these names. But as unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for them. What is Lord Chaitanya describing in this verse? He's describing he has no attraction. Why? Because he's taking the position of those who have no attraction. If Krishna's made himself accessible, he's there in his names, but why is he not, why are we not so fully attracted to Krishna's names? And the second verse of Sikshastika explains that because there's still many obstacles that are there within the heart, which obstruct us from experiencing the holy name in its complete form. Just as the example is given, just as the sun is always manifested in the sky, it is always bright, and it is always shining, and it is always giving off light all over the universe. But although the sun is always bright, our experience of the sun is sometimes obstructed by the presence of clouds or by the presence of fog. So when clouds are present in the sky, it's our vision that's covered, it's not the sun that is covered. Prabhupada would oftentimes give the example, when you fly up in an airplane and you'll go above the clouds, you see there are no suns covering the clouds. It just takes a little distance above the Earth's atmosphere and go up a few miles and you see the clouds are covering our vision, obstructing our vision of the sun. So clouds and due to the presence of clouds and the presence of fog, we may not get the full experience of the sun, although the sun is always bright. In the same way, the holy name of the Lord is always transcendentally effulgent, it is always transcendentally blissful. Namachitamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigaha Purnashuddho Nityamukto Vinatva Nama Namino. Prabhupada would quote this verse so many times about the holy name of the Lord. That the holy name of the Lord is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions because it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of pleasure. The holy name of the Lord is complete and is the form of all transcendental mellows. The holy name of the Lord is never a material name under any condition, and it's no less powerful than Krishna himself. Because the holy name of the Lord is never conditioned by the laws of material nature, it is eternal, and it is always eternal and it always liberated. This is because Krishna and his name, they're non-different. Nama Chaitanya, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purna Shuddho, Purna means complete. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnamudachite. Purna means the holy name of the Lord is complete. Why is it complete? Because it's complete. It's Krishna himself. But we don't experience that complete experience of that pleasure, that taste, that happiness, that absorption. We don't experience it because still there's clouds and there's fog which is obstructing our experience of the sun. In the same way there are
anarthas, or there are still many attachments within the heart. And there's also the fog of ignorance, which is obstructing our complete experience of the Holy Name of the Lord. So just as the sun, verse in the Bhagavatam states, Kinchit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Purayana Adhamdun Partikartseha Niharamiva Bhaskara, that a rare person who has achieved unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord, he can uproot these weeds of sinful desires within his heart. Just as the sun can immediately dissipate the fog by its rays. So just as if we want to get clear away the fog of ignorance, then just as the sun, when the sun appears, it dissipates the fog, burns up the fog, and then one can gradually see the sun rising in the sky. So in the same way, we have to chant the holy name of the Lord with a desire to dissipate this fog, these clouds. We should realize they exist. The clouds and the fog are existing and obstructing our view. We should not doubt. Just like we don't doubt that the sun is always bright. We have direct experience of the clouds that are covering our experience of the sun. We see it sometimes on a cloudy day, and all of a sudden the wind blows, the clouds dissipate, and the sun is right there. So, oh yes, the sun was always there. So in the same way, we should know that the holy name of Krishna is always transcendentally sweet. It's always blissful. It's the problem is just I'm not experiencing it because the clouds are there within my heart, and the ignorance, the fog of anartha, the fog of ignorance is also there within my heart. To know that, to recognize it, that's what a sadhaka is. We started in the beginning by saying that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking to sadhakas. A sadhaka is one who has faith that there's something beyond his experience. Just like for those who were here the other night when I showed the video about the Ukraine, I was relating my experience that when I first came to Ukraine, how eager people were eager to hear something which was beyond Soviet propaganda. They had faith that there must be something higher than this propaganda we've been fed for the last 70 years. They couldn't hear it. Everything they tried to do to get to it, they couldn't hear it. But they had faith there must be something higher. Of course, now they think Bush is or democracy or is something higher, whatever it may be. But they had some glimpse that they must, because they were so dissatisfied with what they had. Practically, I saw the dissatisfaction of the communist people when I first went there. You know, I one day I remember walking out of the hotel where I was staying when I was still going undercover as a tourist. I walked out of this hotel in Moscow, right near Arbat, one of the most affluent places in the whole Moscow. And it was right across the street, there was a little shop, and it was a long, long line. People were coming down this street, and then all the way around the corner, people were standing in line. And I was thinking, what's everybody standing in line for? So I walked over to the front to see what everybody was coming out with. What people were going in and some were coming out. Everyone was coming out with 3 bars of soap. It was the quarter for the next 3 months. One by one, they'd all come out with 3 bars of soap. So they were suffering. I mean, the common people, they like just... You know, just to get a bar of soap for them, that they would stand in line for hours. You know, to get a bottle of milk or to get a little piece of butter, they would stand in line, or a piece of bread. You know, all they had was, you know, 4 shops: molokho, which is milk; riba, fish; myasa, meat; and what was the other one? One other one, I can't remember. And the clip. Bread. And people would stand in line at the bakery. Vodka. Vodka? Oh, yeah. That was easily accessible because it was the only highest thing they had. The government made that so available so that everybody would just drink themselves so drunk that they wouldn't think about how much poverty they were in. So they made it so accessible. I mean, every person on the street was, vodka was... You drive around at night at 10 o'clock, nobody walked, everybody staggered. Anyways, let's not get lost. The point was, as I was making, is that, you know, they knew there must be something better than this. Right? They had some faith. You know, so when I first came there, as I said, the people were so eager to hear anything that was not Soviet propaganda. They wanted to hear it. Because the party line just wasn't working anymore. They were looking for something higher. So, in the same way, a sadhaka is one who knows that the party line in the material world that everybody is propagating throughout the material world, that eat, drink, and be merry, you know, buy another car every year, build a house, make sure you have money in the bank, you know, make sure that, you know, you could travel and go on vacation, cruises, buy your own plane, motorcycle, boats, everything. This propaganda to buy, and sell your soul to live comfortably and happily in this world, there's got to be something higher. What, there's got to be. Persons who realize that there must be something higher, and they come to the point, yes, what is it? What is higher? Then, when they develop a little faith that, yes, when they hear a little bit about Krishna, when they hear a little bit about the glories of the holy name, and they hear a little bit about transcendence, that there is something higher that can give greater satisfaction to self, then what happens is shraddha, a little faith is awakened. And when that faith is awakened, a sadhaka is one who always wants to increase his faith, who wants to realize, now I have a little faith. There's some faith. It's not full faith. It's not complete faith. But I know. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that characteristic of a sadhaka in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says the sadhaka is that person who's awakened his faith in hearing about Krishna, being disgusted with material activities, knowing that all sense enjoyment leads to miseries, but still he cannot fully give it up. So therefore he says, my devotee, he should remain happy and he should continue to worship me with faith and conviction. Because even though my devotee knows that all sense enjoyment leads to suffering, and he cannot give it up fully, still he will sincerely repent. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes that verse to describe that is a beginning stage when one becomes a devotee. He has faith that there's something higher. He knows that sense enjoyment is not going to satisfy himself. He's disgusted with it, but he still can't give it up completely. But he wants to give it up. He wants to, because he knows that's what's binding him to the material world. He knows that as long as he continues a life of worldly pursuits, then Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, I've directly experienced it by my own experience, that every time I extend myself to make some effort to gratify myself, I get some flickering happiness. Sita atapa bhata varishana edina jari jagire, as Govinda Das describes. Vipali sevanu kripana dura jana chapala sukha lava lagire. Now he describes the flickering nature of the happiness in this world. He says, I've served many miserly men for simply for some flickering happiness. E dana jovana putra parijana hitiki achi pariti today. Kamala dala jala jivana tala mala vaja huhari pariniti today. Wealth, sons, wife, youth, family, just as a drop appears on a lotus leaf, such is this life. He understands it's flickering. It's flickering. So at once, Bhajahu Hari Pari Nitire, at once let me take up the worship of Sri Hari. What is the worship of Sri Hari? Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevanam Dasare Pujana Saki Jana Atmana Vedana Govinda Dasa Abhilasare. He describes that the sadhaka is one who engages in Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana. He engages in hearing about Krishna. He engages in chanting Krishna's names, Krishna's pastimes. He tries to remember Krishna. He serves Krishna with his hands. He offers prayers to Krishna. He worships the Lord. He serves the deity of the Lord. He tries to surrender everything to the Lord. And in this way, he practices the ninefold process of devotional service to revive that dormant Krishna consciousness, because he has faith that everything else here is flickering. There must be more. There must be something higher. So sadhaka is one who has faith that ultimately the holy name of the Lord will actually deliver everything, because it is not different from Krishna, and Krishna is everything. For the devotee, his goal in his life is, I want to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. I've experienced already the temporary false shelters of the material world, and I've seen how fruitless it's been. and trying to completely absorb myself totally in such fruitless endeavors, it doesn't provide shelter for the heart. It may provide some temporary shelter for the body, but life has a necessity beyond the body. Sometimes we hear that term, necessities of life. Right? Oftentimes Prabhupada uses in the book the basic, everyone has the necessities of life. We think immediately the necessities of life are food, you know, clothing, these are, no, but this is not necessities, this is necessities for maintaining life in the body. Life also has a necessity, because life continues to exist outside the body. For one who knows anything about spiritual life, the ABCs of spiritual life begin in Krishna's first teachings in Bhagavad Gita. As Krishna tells Arjuna, you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise, they lament neither for the living nor for the dead. And Krishna tells Arjuna that there is a difference between the body and the soul. So, therefore, what is the necessity of life? It is not simply food, shelter, clothing. No. This is necessity of maintaining life in the body, but life has a necessity also. That's what Govinda Das is explaining. Bhajahu Hari Parinitire. Let me take up the worship of Sri Hari, the only necessity. That's the necessity of my life. My life is to worship Sri Hari, because he's the maintainer. Nityo Nityanam Jaitanas Jaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Viditati Kama. Krishna is maintaining all living beings. He's maintaining all life. So that means he's maintaining the spiritual, the living entity as well. And he's maintaining all the living entities in the spiritual world. They're all eternally happy, rendering service to him without any disturbances of the threefold miseries of materialistic life. They're experiencing complete bliss. But the living entities were conditioned by material nature. They think necessity of life simply means how to keep life within the body. But real life's necessity is to remember, to serve, to glorify, to hear about, and to establish one's existence, his eternal existence in relationship with Krishna. Then he knows he has some hope for experiencing real happiness. So one who has a little faith in this, asavaka, is one who, when he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's chanting with a desire to actually increase his faith. And therefore, what does he do? Every day, he adopts a method. That's why I said this prayer is for sadhakas. It's important for, very important for sadhakas, for aspiring sadhakas. It's also important for those who are not even aspiring to become sadhakas, because sooner or later, eventually, one's going to have to come to realize that this world is temporary. It may not happen this life, it may not happen for thousands of lives. But if one gets the opportunity to hear the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees of the Lord, as Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion, that one's spiritual life can begin by coming in contact with the Holy Name. So Prabhupada is so merciful, so kind, that he dedicated every fiber of his existence to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which was to make this Holy Name accessible to everyone. Even the most greatest sense gratifiers, the greatest offenders. Prabhupada went to those places where no acharyas had ever gone before, and he reached down to the lowest depths with full compassion. And but what did he do? What did he bring? What did he carry with him? What did he deliver? What did he simply try to give? As he was sitting there in Tompkins Square Park with his little bongo drum, you know, nothing. There was no harmonium. There was no backup vocals. There was no band music. Nothing. It was just Prabhupada and his little bongo and just chanting Hare Krishna. That's all. And what did he say in his prayer? Markandeya Bhagavatam says, Krishna, I don't know why you brought me here, but you should just simply make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I'm like a puppet in your hands. He said, for whatever reason I'm here, but I have firm faith in your holy name. Because I have this firm faith, somehow you can make my name, Bhaktivedanta, now manifest some reality. Although I'm a very insignificant beggar and I have no qualification, by your will, you can make them understand. Prabhupada had that faith in the holy name. And therefore, with nothing except the holy name. For Prabhupada, that was everything. What else did he have besides a trunk of books and a few possessions and 40 rupees? He had nothing else. What he had was the holy name. And for him, the holy name was everything. And because Prabhupada realized that, he felt the full shelter of the holy name. He was able to induce others who were so addicted to all kinds of sinful acts. Devotees used to tell them, they told so many stories of the early days, of the things they were doing when they first met Prabhupada. I think of Umapati Swami. Once I sat down and I talked to him, he told me, you know, when he met Prabhupada, you know, he was still like a beatnik living on the house in the street, and Prabhupada, you know, he was coming and just listening to the Swamiji. And then one day, Swamiji said, you know, why don't you take initiation? And he was still doing all kinds of... He came to initiation. He was wearing cut-off shorts, long hair, and a beard. And Prabhupada said, now I'm going to give you initiation. And an initiation was, he told him, he says, you bow down and repeat after me. So Prabhupada said, now you say this, Nama. And he said, Nama. Now say Om, Om. Now say Vishnu, Vishnu, Padaya. So he repeated the Prabhupada and said, okay, now you are my disciple. And he gave him beads. Your name is Umapati Das. And now he's Umapati Swami. I mean, he's dead. He's given his whole life to serving Prabhupada's mission, preaching in China, traveling all over the world. That was Prabhupada. He's reaching down just to somehow to... He has such firm faith. If I somehow or other, Prabhupada would always quote the verse, Yena Tena Pakrani Navana Krishna Naveshaya. He says, there's a duty of the Acharya to somehow or other attract them to Krishna. All rules and regulations, they'll come later. Huh? Prabhupada did that. Sometimes people in India, they would criticize Prabhupada. Swamiji, you know, you're initiating these Westerners, Mlechas, Yavanas, you know, they have no qualification. You're giving brahminical thread. Prabhupada said, Yena Tena Prakarya Mana Krishna Naveshya. Says the duty of the Acharya is to somehow or other attract them to Krishna, everything else will come. If they become attracted to Krishna, and what's Krishna's most attractive, powerful form? His name. Of course, we were reading one prayer the other night, Prabhupada describes what is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. He says, chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasad. So Krishna Prasadam is also very powerful for me. I know that I came to the temple first time, and when I came to the temple first time in Boston, I remember I was driving up from Cape Cod, and the chanting was nice, but the strawberry halva really... I would drive 70 miles from Cape Cod meditating on strawberry halva. And the greatest ecstasy is one week when I came, it was blueberry halva. So certainly it's prasadam too. Yes, prasadam is pure, it's transcendental, it's spiritual. And therefore Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan Muda is chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasadam. Prabhupada was giving us Krishna. Here, taste it. Now that you've tasted it, got a little glimpse, don't you want to experience more of it? Don't you want to taste it all the time? Don't you want to experience it in its complete form? You know, Prabhupada was doing that. He was just giving a little taste, just like Lord Nityananda is described. Lord Nityananda would give a little faith. He would give that faith, even to faithless persons, he would give a little faith. And just like the example is given, just like a person when he's selling a product, sometimes he may go out on the street and hand out free samples. You get a little free sample of it, like, you know, if you're selling laundry detergent, you get a little package of laundry detergent, you take it home, you use it, you see how good it is, you'll want to come back and buy some. Right? So in the same way that the Acharyas, the merciful representatives of Lord Nityananda, they're going out and they're giving little samples. Here's a little taste. Now you taste it, now come back, buy some more with what you've experienced. What do you buy it with? You buy it with faith. You had faith in the sample I gave you. Now, you see, you got some result, and I'll come back and buy. I'll give you more. Increase faith. That's what Srila Prabhupada was doing. Giving us that little taste. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. That is the mercy of their representative. They somehow or other, even those who had no taste, he gave them a little taste. And then upon experiencing that taste, So awakening that desire within the heart, Srila Prabhupada explains, Bhakti Yoga means awakening desire. He says, if you can't fix your mind upon me, then follow regular the principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, you awaken that desire to attain me. So, awaken that desire, and then what? Then we have to keep ourselves in the association of devotees who help increase, fan that enthusiasm, fan that desire. There's more. There's a lot more. Having got a little taste that one should want to get a little bit more. So therefore, a sadhaka is one who has faith. There's more. Just like the Soviets had faith. There was more. There's something higher. And therefore, they're willing to make all kinds of sacrifices. They're ready to go to war. They're ready to shed blood to get something higher. We should be so willing to get that which Lord Chaitanya came to give. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says he came to start a spiritual revolution. To create a revolution in the impious lives of a misdirected civilization. To came to start a spiritual revolution. To say, now it's time to declare war against Maya. The illusory energy will keep you trapped for millions of births. Now declare war. Take up the battle and fight. I'm giving you the weapon. The weapon is the holy name of the Lord. It is the most powerful weapon. It will protect you. And only that, it will take you and draw you more and more and bring you ultimately to the most wonderful realization of Krishna's full glories. So Prabhupada is just like that. You quote that verse. Lord Chaitanya has come with his weapons. But previously Krishna came with his chakra and his weapons to kill the demons. But he says in the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya comes not to kill demons, but to kill the demoniac mentality. That is what Lord Chaitanya did in this age. To kill the demoniac mentality. To uproot the weeds of sinful desires. To kill that demoniac mentality of materialistic way of life by giving the higher pleasure, all manifest in the holy name of the Lord. So this is what this prayer is about. This prayer is about becoming sadhakas and actually coming to gradually realize that really the holy name of the Lord is everything. Therefore, we should chant with this desire to experience Krishna's name, presence in his name. And one who's determined to do that, to get something higher, and is willing to accept some personal inconvenience, austerities, and to maintain a sense of determination to practice daily an effort to chant these names. He is sadhaka. And therefore, such sadhakas, who if they go on prosecuting the principles of Bhakti Yoga, they'll gradually achieve success. If they chant, keep themselves in the association of devotees, and dance, and take Krishna prasad. Okay. So, Hare Krishna. Maybe we should chant a little Hare Krishna and then take a shot. Oh, they have an arctic today.
It's a 2:40.
So what should I do? Should we have here time for arctic, right? Is that what it is? Okay. All right.
Swami ki jai.